You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the mindset and the success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I'm really excited and honored for today's guest, Roy Krebs. He is the co-founder of Natural Stacks, along with Ben Hebert. Natural Stacks creates an open source dietary supplements for optimal performance. And one of their flagship products that most of you've probably heard of is Siltep. It's a nootropic used by athletes, rocket scientists, Silicon Valley executives, and entrepreneurs. They founded Natural Stacks in 2013 and it generated over seven figures in their first year. So I'm excited today to welcome Roy to Making Bank.
Thanks, Josh. Happy to be here for sure.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, tell us a little bit about, I guess, first off, what got you started in Natural Stacks? I mean, were you an entrepreneur before that? Is this your first company? Give us a little bit of background there.
Sure. Always been interested in health and wellness. So I played college football. I've done martial arts. So always trying to improve my mind and body. Out of college, I was doing commercial real estate, and my timing, I think, was pretty poor. That was 2007, 2008, 2009. So I got wrecked, and I wasn't making any money, and I wanted to start a health and wellness company in some way. Had a lot of small ideas that kind of, you know, fizzled and failed. And I found myself wanting to take a nootropic, wanting to take a brain supplement to improve my cognition, to be more productive, to really, you know, help me come up with this amazing idea, right? And I stumbled upon the Siltep formula. And at that time, it was just a very rough, you know, ingredient list of a few different things. The amounts weren't very set. I just found this on an online forum, and I tried the ingredients for myself, and it worked amazingly. And it kind of just clicked in my head, you know, I want to put these together into one capsule and commercialize it. And that's kind of how it all started.
Super cool. And so tell us a little bit about, I guess, that initial, you know, process. I mean, you know, trying to figure out making dial in the formula to, you know, growing it into, you know, I guess a real business.
Sure. So I have kind of an analytical organizational type brain, I think. And so I got really deep and nerd out on the manufacturing side and the supply chain side, you know, and figuring out all the moving parts. And I got quotes from, you know, 20 different manufacturers, and I really got a good understanding of that side of the business pretty quickly. And I brought on Ben, who I'd worked with on a smaller project in the past, who's more of a marketing type brain. So together we had a great partnership. And so once I discovered the formula, I actually reached out to Abelard Lindsay, who was the inventor of the formula, sent him a message on Twitter, and he got back to me right away and happened to live in the same area that I did, and met him for lunch really within a couple of days. And we worked a deal on the spot. And basically I said, hey, you know, you have this amazing formula. He had said that it was kind of open source and people could do what they want with it, but he wanted to get credit. And I said, hey, you know, I want to do more than just give you credit. I'd love to have you on the team. And we worked out a deal and we launched probably 4 months later.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. And so what were some of the, I guess, initial successes you guys saw with it, and then some of the challenges that you guys had to overcome?
Sure. So the first challenge and success, I think, was figuring out how we're going to market it and how we're going to reach people. And it already had a very cult following around the formula. There was like Tim Ferriss had picked it up and he mentioned it in a video. And there was just this kind of small buzz around it. People didn't really know about it, but it was starting to get some attention. But no one had commercialized it into a product yet. And so once we had the inventor on our team, we just sent a cold email to Dave Asprey and said, hey, you know, you may have heard of the Siltep formula. We're commercializing it. We have Abelard on our team. And we'd love to get on your podcast and work with you however we can. We'd be happy to give you a discounted wholesale rate if you wanted to sell it on your own website. So it was really, it was probably a 3 or 4 sentence email, and he responded right away. And that was really our launch, was on his podcast. He was selling the product, and then we just had a lot of exposure from that, that then just went on the circuit and did a bunch of other podcasts in the health and wellness space. You know, Ben Greenfield, Mark Sisson has become a close friend. And that really, that first few months is where we got our traction, is we kind of came on strong into the health scene by doing the podcast.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, definitely. I know podcasts are a good way to help leverage, you know, the traffic and interest and everything as well. And, you know, line in with some of the people you mentioned, Dave and Ben and Mark and all those guys are, you know, have a good following. And so people definitely listen to them.
Yeah, it's an amazing platform. And if you have something that's different and special and noteworthy, you know, all these guys, they want to hear about it. They want to have it on their show. So it's a value for all parties. And especially if we're able to give them an affiliate deal or allow them to sell it on their own website as a third party, that was really successful for us.
Awesome. And I know, just kind of looking at some of the different things that you guys have done, you've brought on different celebrities and things along the way to kind of promote Natural Stacks, or I guess, how did you create those relationships? And then, you know, kind of like, what did those deals look like? Did you just pay them a flat fee? Did you, you know, give them royalties and stuff, if you're able to share all that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's all been organic. We really haven't done any outreach on the ambassador side. These are people that have emailed us and said, "Hey, I've had great success with your product. You know, what can I do to help?" It has really been the main message. And so we've had Olympians, we've had, you know, high performance business people and things like that. I'd say the most famous one was Martin Jakobsen, who was in the World Series of Poker. And he sent us an email and said, "Hey, I love your guys' products. I've been taking it for a year or two, and it really helps with my poker game. By the way, I'm sitting at the final nine at the World Series of Poker in 2 weeks in Las Vegas. Would you want to sponsor me?" And so we were just like ecstatic, you know, pumped. All right, awesome. And so we looked this guy up, and he was a real underdog. I think out of nine, he was, you know, ranked 8 or 9. And, but he was very responsive. We got him on the phone call right away, and we negotiated a deal where he would wear a big patch that said "Powered by Siltep" on his chest. And he didn't have any other sponsors, so we would have been the only one. And I remember Ben, my partner, I told him to make this patch, and he made it, and we got it, and we're like, "Oh, wow, this might be a little too big." I hope he'll still wear it. And it actually worked out great. So the workings of that deal is, right when we emailed him, I think he kind of had a number in his head. And so he said, "You know, I'd be happy to do all this. I'll wear your patch. You know, I'll talk about the products because they've really helped me for this flat fee up front." And, you know, at that point, we had no cash, you know, we were scraping by. And I said, "You know, we really can't make that happen." And it was also pretty risky. You know, we didn't know if he was going to be eliminated on the first hand.
Ten minutes, he's done.
Right. So what we did is we gave him a percentage of revenue for 1 month after the airing on ESPN. So in that sort of deal, you know, he was very incentivized to promote the product the best that he could, you know, and get us the best exposure that we could. And we weren't out any money up front. So it created a great partnership, and he ended up winning the tournament, which was crazy, totally unexpected. We had set up a video crew to capture it and do a mini documentary because we thought, you know, whether he wins or loses, this is really cool, and let's get it on film. And it turned out to just be the best story we could ask for.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, it's a good gamble on your guys' part. One, with the structure, but two, I mean, you know, he's coming in at eighth or ninth, you know, underdog, like you said, and, you know, then takes the whole thing, and it shows, man, you know, Siltep must be working.
That's the edge. It was amazing. ESPN actually cut out a couple of things that he said about the products, which was unfortunate because we were there in person and we heard him say it and we're like, wow, you know, this is just the best testimonials. But ESPN cut that back quite a bit.
Yeah, they're like, ah, no product. Yeah. Well, cool. I know one of the things too, when I was looking up, and then you guys actually patented the formula. Is that like, what did that process look like? And the reason I'm asking too is like, we own a pretty large, natural organic skincare company and everything. And so, we make all of our own stuff. We have our own formulas and stuff. So it's interesting to kind of hear and see from a supplement side, how you guys are doing things. So,
yeah, as you probably know, it was very difficult to do. And the main reason is just proving that it's novel, because these ingredients that we're using have been around forever. And, you know, there's been supplements selling these ingredients in some way or another for 100 years, you know? So our job in explaining with the patent office was that this is a completely novel combination of these several ingredients that create this effect in the brain, which no other dietary supplement had targeted this mechanism in the brain before, and no other supplement had combined these two ingredients before. So it was a novel combination of several ingredients that had never been combined before, trying to yield promoting this mechanism in the brain that was new for a supplement as well. And so we actually filed for two patents. One was kind of more of a, let's say, a narrow patent, which it covers our formula as well as a pretty large variance of that formula. And then we also applied for more of a broad patent, which looks like it's going to go through here in the next few months or so, really, which is very exciting. And the broad patent is just any kind of herbal PDE4 inhibitor with any kind of herbal C-AMP increaser. So that bundles up multiple other ingredients in there and really protects us on that mechanism of action.
Oh, wow. That's cool. That's awesome. So yeah, that'll be exciting once you kind of get it all cleared and done. And
yeah, and you know, a big part of our mission as a company is transparency. So, you know, from day one, we've put our exact ingredient list out there, and so this is just something that protects us for the long run. That, you know, hey, this is our formula, but we actually patent this formula, and you know, we're taking it a step farther. So we have university clinical trials that are underway now. So two robust, you know, double-blind placebo-controlled studies. We'll have data from that and end of this year as well. So really we're taking like a drug development route on the dietary supplement side, which is something that's been completely self-imposed. You know, we're no one's saying, hey, you have to get a study. Hey, you have to patent this. Hey, you have to use a transparent label. But really we believe that's where it should be going and what we should be doing to validate this product. And yeah, if the study comes through well and the patent has already been granted, but the other patent, this could potentially be taken down the drug route. And, you know, it'd have to be a little more refined and, you know, come down just to one or two molecules, but it's totally doable. I'm not saying that's the route we want to go, but we're taking a very pharmaceutical approach to dietary supplements.
Awesome. What was all involved, you know, in getting, the clinical trials? And I mean, you said, it sounds like you're working with some universities. Is that?
Yeah. So the biggest hurdle, which took maybe a year, was getting through the IRB, International Review Board. So any study on humans has to go through the IRB. And so that's just, you're proving that it's safe. It's not going to give humans, you know, blue skin or make them lose their tongue or something, which was difficult because we haven't done any studies on the product. So what we're really showing is, you know, the dosages, the amounts of our ingredients and the ingredients that we're using have been shown to be completely benign. You know, whether you're using kilograms or, you know, massive amounts of each ingredient. So we're able to get through the IRB that way.
And then, so did you guys have to provide, I guess, smaller case studies or more just general ingredient data?
Lots of stuff. Yeah. So, any negative customer testimonials over the last few years, any potential side effects that we think might be there, any and all data that we've had over the last few years, we supplied, and it seemed to went through okay.
Cool.
It just took a long time. It was a very difficult process.
Well, yeah, we have like an all natural tooth powder that we sell. I mean, it's like our top selling product. So it's like, all right, how can we? I guess, what's it take? And then how can we go get clinical studies showing this stuff is legit, it works, it's, you know, crushed, you know, phenomenal. So it's just, it's interesting to hear what you're saying. And okay, these are the things that you need.
It's a long, expensive process. And, you know, you can set up small pilot studies that may not require IRB approval, but, you know, you're not going to be able to get that published or, you know, yeah, go the full route.
Gotcha. And so that's where you guys are headed with it then.
Yeah. So, and you know, you need at least 15 participants for it to be scientifically valid anyways. So you can do a small 5-10 person pilot study and maybe get some data that's interesting, but I wouldn't call that conclusive. So we figured if we're going to go the full thing and do a study, then let's do a robust study and let's do it the best we can. It's very expensive and it's costly. Takes a long time, but it will be worth it.
Have you guys, I know when we were initially looking at a lot of stuff, is using out of the country, and because it still falls within, I guess, those guidelines or whatever that are needed, but it's like a third of the cost?
We haven't found that. We actually are using a university out of the country, Maastricht University in the Netherlands. And we chose them for a specific reason, which was because their lead researcher is the head researcher on drugs that target PDE4 inhibition. So the same thing that we're targeting with our supplement, this guy is the expert in the world at this. So we wanted to go to him to do the study.
Okay. Awesome. Cool. Well, let's shift off just because some people might not be in that same spot, but it's definitely interesting to me and I could probably have another 2-hour conversation on that with you. So what do you think are probably been your biggest 3 things that led to the success of Natural Stacks and SilTep and everything?
Okay. So I think one is just having innovative formulas. So something that's different, and we have, I think, 20 different SKUs now, and every single one is a unique formula. You won't find even our vitamin D3 or our curcumin or whatever it is, kind of our standard products are unique novel formulas that are designed to be typically better absorbed, so then they'd be more effective. And so I think that's kind of the first start, is just having something novel that's noteworthy that someone wants to talk about. And then I'll just continue on the product. Our products are amazing. They work. People feel the benefits within about 30 minutes of most of our products. So something that you can feel the almost immediate benefit from, and it's not any feeling. This is a feeling that makes you more productive and helps your memory and your focus, and has really led to some profound changes in people's lives. So that, you know, that's something that people are going to talk about and just share and word of mouth. So I think because of our amazing products has been probably the biggest reason. Our, you know, less than 1% refund rate, word of mouth marketing has been huge for us. And then 2, I'll say our transparency. So we saw one of the biggest problems in the supplement industry was lack of transparency. So proprietary formulas, you don't know exactly what's in that product or the amount of each ingredient. You don't know if that's an effective dose of the ingredient. So that was one of the biggest issues. And then we attacked that even further by going to ingredient traceability. So where did you get these ingredients from? And we've been so transparent as to, on our website, share the exact suppliers for every single ingredient. So you know where we're getting our stuff from. And then on top of that, third-party lab testing. So, you know, if you were still skeptical at all, here's a third-party test showing exactly what's in the product. So removing any skepticism from the kind of shady supplement mindset that people might have. So having an amazingly quality product and then removing that roadblock, I think, have been crucial to our success.
cool. What, so like with what you guys are doing, you know, what was the, do you guys sell on Shopify? Do you guys have like, I guess, funnels out there? I guess, where do you, what's worked really well for you guys?
Sure. Yeah. Happy to share that. Most of our revenue is direct to consumer on our own website. We are using the Shopify platform. And I would say maybe 20% of our revenues through Amazon. You know, I'm not a fan of Amazon, selling on Amazon, but you have to respect where the consumer is. And so
it's a different consumer than that you're picking up off the website.
It's a different world, but we do sell on Amazon, and then we do sell to retailers or to wholesalers. And that's a growing part of our business. Is we've sold through online resellers and international distributors. We have some pretty large amount of sales in Australia and the UK, Northern Europe. And then now we're starting to get into more of the traditional retailers. So Fresh Thyme and Pharmaca, some smaller chains on the West Coast. So we're starting to see more of a retail setting, which is a different world as well. But online direct to consumer is our bread and butter. I think we've gotten really good at communicating with the customer directly. Email marketing, we have lots of different flows going on there. We have a talented ads guy. We do a lot of content. So that's where we're comfortable, is online.
Cool. Do you guys, are you guys all in one location? Is everybody remote? Or I guess, you guys in one office? Or how do you guys set that all up?
Sure. We've been pretty remote in the past. But now we're trying to centralize things. So my co-founder and myself are now in Seattle, Washington, and we've got most of the team here now. There's still a couple people in Austin, Texas. But we're slowly convincing people to move here. And, I'll mention it. Something else that's really been huge to our business is we just started doing our own fulfillment. So about 6 months ago, I guess now, we rented a warehouse. You know, we negotiated with FedEx and set up everything we needed, hired some staff, and it was pretty clunky and it was a pretty big adventure. But now we're shipping direct, and it's been a huge improvement in our customer service. We were always using a third-party warehouse, you know, and you launch the business and you never even really see the product, you know. it was kind of weird. It was cool because it was less management and we can just focus on what we're good at. But what we're doing now, we have our office, which is upstairs from our warehouse and our shipping. And so I see the product coming in and going out every day. And it's just a great atmosphere to, you know, to see, okay, this order came in and you can just see a whole pallet's going out, you know, or we run a sale and you can just see like more activity going on down there. And it's really cool. And we've actually cut down our shipping time. We're averaging about 6.5 days to get to a consumer. Now we're at 3.5. And that's just for our standard, you know, free shipping option. So pretty proud of that.
That's super cool. Yeah, I mean, bringing it in-house, I mean, we do a lot of our stuff is all in-house too for our fulfillment and everything. And I think that's a huge piece that if you can handle, definitely gives you a good direct-to-consumer and feeling and stuff like that and everything as well. So we got a little bit of time left. Just wanted to touch base on one or two other things and then wrap up. What do you guys do any like free trial offers? Is it just all direct e-com to your store?
Yeah, we've really kind of stayed away from the free trial rebuild type thing. You know, we've tested different landing pages and different offers with different sources of traffic and things like that, but our bread and butter is just on our website.
Okay. And then obviously with Facebook and making it where you can't directly promote supplements and things, I mean, has that been a challenge to you guys, or where do you, you know, what works, have you found that works best for you guys?
We're probably spending the most money on Facebook for ads, and we've had a little regulatory problems, but not much. You know, as long as you're really clear and don't say specific health claims and things, it hasn't been a problem. But Facebook has become less profitable, and I don't know if other companies have seen that as well. And really over the last three, after the holidays, things kind of really got more competitive on the Facebook advertising side, especially in our industry. Supplements is heavily advertised. So like I said, our products are different, so we're able to find avenues that work, but Facebook itself is getting very competitive where it's not the most profitable route.
Okay. Where do you find that you're acquiring most of your consumers from then?
New consumers are probably coming from Facebook. But also we're very active with affiliates and doing podcasts like this, guest blog posts on other health podcasts and more of a network effect like that.
Cool. And you said too, you're building out retail as well. So that's obviously going to drive traffic at some point back.
It's been a huge challenge for me over the last few months is figuring out the whole retail side of the business, but pretty happy with it really. And surprised how well we've done with limited support. You know, we're not this huge supplement brand that has nationwide advertising, and you know, we can't pay for the huge promos that these stores do and have end cap placement and a discount. Plus, you know, they're in the magazine and all this stuff. Those are all highly expensive promotions to do within these stores. And I think most stores are kind of seeing it as a loss leader or, you know, making a very small margin as a way to acquire customers and get more visibility. But, you know, we've been able to do it profitably. We're staying away from distributors. So we sell direct to all the retailers, which is a little more work, but it takes out the distributor. And also as a young company, we want to be able to control the conversation. So we're able to provide a lot of support in terms of product knowledge and marketing material directly to the store staff, rather than going through a distributor, which that kind of gets lost. And as a young company, we can't allow someone else to talk about our brand when, you know, we're still creating our own story.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree on that. Because, I mean, it's better if you can get in front of them, you know the story, you know what makes you guys shine and what people are connecting with. And so when you can get that in front of the retailer, that's going to, sway them one way or another to definitely move forward with you guys and stuff. So
that's, have you poked around in retail at all with your,
I had a previous company that we got in over 40,000 retailers. It was in the supplement space. And then now we're in just this year moving into retail with all of our skincare stuff and everything as well. So it got a little bit of experience there. But yeah, we're in the process of hiring somebody on full time now to take it over. So that part of it. But awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about, or I guess give our audience where they can go find out more information. Where do you want to send them to? Before we wrap up here.
Oh, sure. Of course. Naturalstacks.com. And email me directly if you have questions or want to talk. Roy@naturalstacks.com. All the social networks @naturalstacks. You can find us. We're around.
Awesome. Yeah, just Google me. They pop up everywhere. So, well, Roy, I really appreciate you coming on Making Bank today, diving into some insights, what's really got you guys, taken off, and, just hearing your story and everything is really awesome.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it.
I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.